Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we invite you. We invite your word. Lord, we invite your presence. Lord, may you even be just sitting in a chair with us. And Lord, may it bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. We are doing a topical teaching today, and what's nice about being a guest speaker is I get to talk about whatever I want, and they told me I have a two-hour limit. We're going to be talking about crowns, and I went over this with my youth group, and there was a lot of fruit from it, and I hope today's teaching will be encouraging and at the same time challenging. We're going to be talking about six different crowns. Five of them can be given to us by our Lord King Jesus. One of them is uniquely different from the others. And as this is a topical teaching, there should be slides that we'll be able to follow along as we start to flip through the Bible. So our first place that we're going to be is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And while you're turning there, I'm going to kind of describe chapter 9. Paul is addressing the church of Corinth, and he is talking about his rights in the gospel. He is talking about the different tactics that he uses for the gospel. But then he starts to go to the last part where he uses a metaphor, an analogy of an athlete and how he is like an athlete. That's what we're going to be reading. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. My version says wreath, yours might say crown. But we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So Paul talks about his drive, his purpose, and he has a goal, and he likens it to an athlete. For me, I grew up and I was a runner. I love track and cross country, especially the 1500. And so when I was starting to think about this, I was starting to think back on my days of track. And we're in the month of July, so last month they had track meets all across the nation in high schools. Now just imagine this. Imagine if I visited one of your kids' high school meets, and I've just come to watch the events. And I'm on the sideline of the 1500, and the gun goes off, and all I see is one runner. Now, that's kind of strange. We investigate, and we see that the rest of the runners are suntanning in the middle of the field. All right, well, I'm disappointed. All right, I'm going to move on to the next event. We're going to go to the shot put. Those people, all right, they're going to use all their strength and ability to cast a metal ball as far as they can. But instead of tossing a ball, they're just playing hacky sack. All right, maybe we'll go for three. Let's try the pole vault. Those people have to be focused. They're running down a strip with a pole, and by faith and grit, they have to get up over that marker. Instead of getting as high as they can, they're just maybe getting high in a different way. So, and we're laughing because when we go to track meets, that's not what we see, is it? We see high school kids going for their personal best, and they're going for a prize. We would be talking to the coaches if there was something like that happening. So Paul is likening that he is going for a prize as well, and he describes a perishable wreath. And in the Greek and Roman world, they call it the stephanos. It was a leafy crown that would be put upon their head, and it was kind of used for bragging rights. You know, they would be able to beat everyone. They'd be able to puff up their chest. They would go, they'd receive their crown, and that's it. Because what happens to that crown a couple days later? It just withers away. Paul is saying, and this is what we're going to introduce, our first crown, the incorruptible crown or wreath, one that will not perish, one that will not diminish, one that you'll be able to keep with you for eternity. Wouldn't that be neat? This is also known as the victor's crown. For a person who has strived, for a person who is focused on Jesus and on the kingdom, he's going to give a victorious crown. Now we need to go to the second part of this teaching. Verse 26. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So, this is a chance for application and reflection. Are you focused? Are you one who is moving forward, or are you wandering around life aimlessly? Are you going from one event to the other event? Are you going from one hobby to the other hobby? What's sad is, I think there's going to be Christians, when they get to heaven, they're not going to be getting a victorious crown because they didn't really get into the race. They're saved. But, you know, and that's something to talk about, is there's a judgment for sinners in Revelation chapter 20, but in Revelation, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we're all going to have to go before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will receive reward and we won't receive reward. So in this, are we focused? And the question I think that we have today, and this is a question that's going to touch on all the different crowns I'm going to be talking about. Is Jesus your life? Or, is he just a part of your life? That's the thing that determines it. And I'll give you a little bit of my testimony later, but that's something that I have to ask myself on a daily basis. Am I moving forward in victory? All right, we're going to go to our second crown. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to be in verse 17. But since we are torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavor the more eagerly and great desire to see you face to face, because we want to come to you. I, Paul, again and again. But Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting, and your versions might say rejoicing, before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. So with this, Paul is talking to the Church of Thessalonica, one that he helped to find, and he says, I really want to be with you guys. I really want to see you face to face, but I can't. There's spiritual warfare that's taking place where I can't do that. But then Paul starts to ask the question, what is our hope? What is our joy? What is our rejoicing before Jesus? And if I was to stop after the service and start to ask you that question, all of you might have different things. Some of you is like, I'm looking forward to seeing past family members. Some, I'm looking forward to seeing heaven. Some, I don't want to pay taxes. I don't want my knees to hurt. There's so many different reasons that we have a reason to be joyful and hopeful as we proceed forward, but that's not what he's asking. He's asking something very specific of this group. Let's take a closer look. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before the Lord at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Our second crown is the crown of rejoicing or the soul winner's crown. Some people here might say, I'm not a people person. I don't do people. My friends, we are called to people. And things that we can't take to heaven with us, we can't take our trophy elk head. We can't take our nice car. We can't take our boat. I have to include the ladies in there. We can't take our quilts, our gardens. We can't take these things to heaven with us. But my friends, you can take people. You can lead people. And so what's Paul saying here? He's like, I'm going to be able to come before Jesus. Jesus, you did a thing in me, but look, I brought more. We have a reason to rejoice. I brought them, right? And that's what we want to be excited about. And I have a testimony in my life where I've worked in law enforcement for a long period of time, in the military, in the Marine Corps, in state police, and in the prison. And so you're very structured, very hard. And for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, I've asked for the Lord to give me love and to give me a love for people. And he has. And if you're a person, you say, I don't do people, start to pray to the Holy Spirit and he will wonderfully start to give you love. In fact, when I get done today, I got to go to the prison ministry. You know, we got 50 guys who are just waiting. So are you bringing people to Jesus? Are you bringing people into the kingdom of heaven? There's a crown for those who do so. Now we're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And while you're turning there, there's one thing I forgot to mention. For extra credit reading, I have up front, up top, there's James chapter 1. And it's very much like the victorious crown. So I forgot to bring that up. Okay, we are now chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 6. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who have loved his appearing. I always enjoy reading this section. You always feel, I feel the weight of what Paul is saying. He's saying goodbye to Timothy. And as we read this, this sounds a lot like the victorious crown, doesn't it? He fought the fight, he was in the race, he kept the faith. But that's not what this is. This is something different. This is our third crown, is the crown of righteousness. And what's the last line of what I just read in verse 8? Not only to me, but also all who have loved his appearing. This crown's a little bit different from the other ones. The other ones are merit-based. Things that you've done and you receive a crown. This one is waiting. This one is longing for the presence of Jesus. And I like that song that we sang today, Callie. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And is that a part of your life? I can tell you, for me, it didn't used to be. I've always been a Christian, but especially, you know, 20, 25 years ago, what did I want in life? I wanted entertainment, excitement, adventure, hobbies, all sorts of things. But it wasn't until several years ago, something happened, and it's something that we all experienced, and COVID came and happened. And I think for most people, like, that was just a terrible, terrible time. It was for me too, but I'm very thankful it happened. Why? Because the world showed its cards. It showed its face for what it is and what it's going to be in the future. And I became extremely disenchanted really quick what's happening. The world, to me, lost its glitz and its glamour. I started getting excited about prophecy. I started getting excited about Jesus. And so that's the thing is, how many teachings, parables, prophecy did Jesus leave us to be awake, to be alert, to be ready? Because you don't know when I'm coming back. You don't know. So are you looking for his presence today? Are you longing for his presence? And if you're not, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And he'll start to take away things in your life. There'll be trials and tribulations. Those are always good things. But there's a crown for those who want to see Jesus. And I was talking about heaven earlier, all the things that we have to look forward to. I didn't really talk a whole lot about how many of those things. There's so many things. But really, what's the prize? It's not the crowns. It's Jesus. That's our prize. That's who we get to be with. So, hopefully, all of us will want to have that. All right, we're going to go to our next one. 1 Peter chapter 5. And as you're turning there, take notice that we have the Apostle Paul, who spoke on three different crowns. The Apostle Peter is speaking on one. And then as we go to Revelation, John, or Jesus, is talking about a crown. Oh, and we can't forget James. I forgot him again. So, verse 1 of chapter 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. So Peter is addressing church leadership. And it says here, elders. Your versions might say something a little bit different. And we, in American church, we get really hung up on titles. We have bishops, we have pastors, we have elders, we have deacons, this is kind of encompassing those. This is church leadership, people who watch over the flock. And what we have to think about Middle East shepherds, what did they do? They were out with their sheep day and night. They were in the heat and in the cold. They were addressing their injuries. They were getting them fed. They were protecting them from predators. And so he's giving the do's and the don'ts of what a leader in the church should be. The do's: exercise oversight, be humble, be an example, and have a willingness. The don'ts: don't do it because you have to. Don't be domineering, and don't be doing it for money or shameful gain. And if you do, this is our fourth crown, the crown of glory will be given. Now, who's this crown going to be given to by? The chief shepherd, right? Not by Pastor Paul, not by Pastor Aaron. And just because you become a pastor or an elder doesn't mean that you're doing it well. This is going to be given out for ones who do it well. And I guess I would encourage somebody who's thinking about stepping into church leadership is that you need to pray about it. because it's not an occupation. It's not a duty. It's a calling. It's a calling from the Holy Spirit to be set aside. When I went to Baker City, and I just came there to serve. I came there to, you know, trash cans, greet people, whatever was needed. And shortly after I started, Pastor Wage and Megan asked me if I wanted to be assistant pastor. And I jokingly asked him, what's the pay raise? He's like, it's good. It's double what you're making now, which is zero. And I'm so glad that he did ask. I never thought I would be doing... When you start to serve, and I would encourage you to serve. When you start to serve, first of all, people depend on you in the church. But then you start to rub shoulders with other believers and you start to connect. But you don't know where it's going to take you. Right now I'm a youth group leader. Why am I a youth group leader? I work in a prison, you know? But it's challenging, it's rewarding. I don't like talking in front of people, but I'm here, you know? And the thing is, there's so much reward, but there's also heartache. Sometimes you weeks and months and years investing in people, and in a moment they leave. It's easy to get jaded. And being alongside other senior pastors, I've just watched. I've seen them go through the ringer. I've seen their families get attacked. I see them get attacked. I see them go through depression and hopelessness. So it's not easy, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have any other way. And so I would encourage you to just pray if that's a calling on your life. Because also, too, when you go through all that, there's a crown of glory. And I'm really hoping for that. All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. I could teach a whole sermon just on the church of Smyrna. But I'm not going to, because they won't let me. All right, I'm loving hearing the Bible's turning. Pages turning, that's great. Verse 8. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty. I know you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days, you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers or overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Our fifth crown is the crown of life, or the martyr's crown. And by a show of hands, if we're being honest, anyone here afraid of death? Just a couple people. Well, thank you for raising your hands. I ask that question because it's a thing. You know, death is scary. And I remember a long time ago when I was spearfishing on the coast, I got frustrated. I was fishing on the shore. I cast out my line, and the fishermen who were just 10 feet farther would just be catching the fish. So I said, no, I'm going down there. So I got my spearfishing equipment, it wasn't scuba, and watched YouTube University, and I just went and did it. That's the kind of person I am. And I was having a really good day fishing. The water was clear on the coast. I was getting fish. Everything was going great. And then my snorkel kind of broke apart and fell apart. And if you know anything about freediving, you have to be relaxed and smooth. And I wasn't that at all anymore. So I went to the closest rock to try to fix things. And then the waves just started bashing me. Long story short, I was in and over my head. And I got scared. I was a long ways from shore. And I just cried out, "Lord, help me. Save me. I don't want to die." I let go of my fish and my spear, and I made it to shore. Fast forward a couple years, I developed quite the heart condition. SVT, if anyone knows what that is. But there was quite a few times where I'd be flat on my back, my heart's on the fritz, and I'd be in and out of consciousness. And I thought to myself, this is it. This is the end. Jesus, I'm ready. I put my full weight on you. So what was the difference between the two? Well, over time, I've learned to understand what grace is, and I can't make it to heaven on my own. And I've learned to put my full weight on Jesus. So what is Jesus doing here as he's talking to the church of Smyrna? We see the first line. The words of the first and the last who have died and come and came to life. Jesus is pronouncing who he is, and he's encouraging them. He's saying, I've died. What you're about to go through, I've been through. But I came back to life. I own life. And so he's encouraging me with this title of who he is. But then halfway through verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Jesus is not going to hold back the persecution. He's not going to hold back the death. You notice that? A lot of times we ask God, please hold this back. Please don't let this happen to me. For Jesus, for God, lives martyred are not a waste. He doesn't just like, oh, there's 20 people who died today. It's not just a number. It talks about in Psalms 116, precious to the Lord is the death of his saints. They're precious. You're precious to him. So the thing is if that time does come, are you ready? Because there's a crown for life for those who are, not to shrink back. So with that, I'd like to encourage you. I remember my mom, when I was younger, she used to tell me, not stories all the time, but she would tell me stories once in a while about martyrs in China, martyrs in Rome, martyrs in just different places. And as a little guy, she told me this. Those stories got here. They stayed. And I don't know if our bookstore has the Book of Martyrs in it, but I would encourage you to purchase those. It will increase your faith. It will give you encouragement. I read the Word to my kids daily, but once every 2 weeks, once a month, I read them from the Book of Martyrs. So I have the Jesus Freak editions that has past and present stories because I want that to be planted in their heart. Are you ready? Because it might happen in our lifetime. So I want to encourage you with that. That's our fifth crown. Now we're going to go to our sixth and final crown, which is the crown of thorns. This is the crown of shame. As we read the different gospels, we read that Jesus, in his trial and tribulation leading up to the cross, that before the Roman Praetorium, that the soldiers formed a thorny crown and they put it upon his head. They hit it with reeds. They falsely praised him, you know, as king of the Jews. They mocked him. Was it by accident that Jesus wore a crown of thorns? Or was it on purpose? Was it just a form of torture that's just random? Why thorns? If you are a student of the Bible, there's a rule of first mention. Where are thorns first mentioned in the Word? I heard Adam. Genesis. That's where it's mentioned. When mankind broke relationship, as we all have all done, a curse came upon mankind, and that he would have to work the ground, and the plant life would have thorns in it, and he would have to work by the sweat of his brow. Jesus bore the curse of man. He bore the shame. He did it so we don't have to have shame, that we don't have to have the curse upon us. And right now I'm reading 1 John chapter 4, and it talks about it, the propitiation of our sins. What does that mean? God the Father, there's us. And then God the Father was going to bring wrath and judgment, rightly so, upon all mankind, every single person who's ever been born. But before the wrath came, he sent his Son, the begotten one. That's what it means, the sent forward one. So here's us, and if we've learned to accept Jesus fully, he steps in front. And what does he do with that wrath and justice that's coming that way? What did he do? Did he deflect it so it went a different direction? Did he prolong it for another day? That's not what he did. He absorbed it. He appeased. That's what propitiation means. Appeased to take away the wrath. And what's neat, as we're studying about crowns, Jesus wore a crown of thorns. He came as the lamb to take away the sin. But in Revelation 19, when he's coming back for his second coming, what's he wearing? What's he wearing? He's wearing a crown. He's wearing a crown with many diadems, signifying royalty and majesty. As we read Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we read like this throne room heavenly scene where there's these elders before the throne. And what are they doing? They get on their knees. They throw down their crowns. They're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb." They're throwing their crowns before him. So it's wonderful that we can accept crowns from Christ, but really, the crowns belong to him because he did it. Not only did he do it, he invites us along in his work. He doesn't need us. He can use angels, but he invites us along in the work, and then he equips us along the way. He gives us opportunities. He gives us people, abilities. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's where, if I was to end this teaching, I'm going to end it with that. Some of you might be listening to this teaching and you might be highly encouraged. Like, I'm looking forward to getting some crowns. And then some of you might be discouraged. I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you walking away like I'm not doing enough. But I want you to seek the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that equips you. Just like with me in the past, I didn't really have a whole lot of love. I asked for love. He's given me love. I've asked for opportunities, give me opportunities. I'm up here in front of you speaking. I'm just a dude. I'm just a dude. Good job, Mom. But Jesus has done something in my life. The Holy Spirit has equipped me. I don't have any abilities apart from it. And it talks about that in John chapter 5, that we are the branch, he is the vine. No fruit can come from us except from him. And you need the Holy Spirit for love, for people, for abilities, for refocusing, for a longing to see his presence. And I guess is there anyone who wants to be prayed over to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? All right. Well, at the end, we're going to have people up front that you can come pray with, and that's something to ask for, because you can't do it on your own, and you're not going to receive these crowns because the Holy Spirit needs to be the one equipping you. So, that's where we're going to be ending today. I hope that you're blessed and encouraged today, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to pray. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. And I pray for these people. I pray, Lord, for the 5 talents and minas that you give them, they would make more. I pray, Lord, that when they come before you, they'll be able to rejoice because they have family members, enemies, neighbors that they invited with them. I pray, Lord, for the ones who are fearful about death, Lord, that they would learn to put their full weight on you. In Jesus' name, amen.